There are stories that don't always make the headlines, that live in the hearts of those who fight the hardest battles. For the next few weeks on the Power Hour, we open the door to those stories. Stories of little fighters facing cancer with courage beyond their years, guided by a man who refuses to let them walk alone. Kashif from the Kids Cancer Foundation, walking every journey, every high, every heartbreak alongside the children and their families. This is more than a segment. This is a journey of courage, compassion, and real stories that will stay with you. Stay with us, because over the next few weeks, these voices need to be heard.
Good evening. You're right back with me, Lady G, on KC107.7. The number to chat with me is 082-414-1077. I've got a man with a heart of gold and everything on the line currently, and he just said something to me that really threw me a bit back. It's funny, you know, I've never met this beautiful young lady, and I've never met Kashif, but it feels like I know Kashif for a lifetime. The battles they are fighting, the things that he's seeing to the kids that he's looking after to, sorry. I'm a bit dumbstruck. Kashif, good evening. How are you doing?
Good evening, Gideon. Thank you very much. You know, you asked me the question earlier. I'm a bit emotional, as I mentioned to you. You know, I've been working with kiddies with cancer for so long, and, you know, from time to time, you meet a young fighter that just eats your heart and soul, and that's what Krishay did. So the news I shared with you earlier was a bit heartbreaking. When I checked in with a mom, and she's like, said, no, it's either hours or days, but she's not responding any longer.
You know,
but to answer your question, I'm good. I'm healthy. I'm grateful, and I'm here. I'm here to spread the word.
Thank you. And we have been now spreading the word for a few weeks, and we're gonna continue doing that from our side here in Paul, and we're gonna assist you as much as we can.
Thank you. I appreciate you all, actually.
And it's like I said, it feels like I know you.
We've never met, but I actually, just before the interview, I just thought the same thing. I haven't met you in person. I've been talking to you constantly via WhatsApp or call, but I need to meet this lady.
We will meet soon. You know, we met through Krishay. Krishay brought so many people together over this period of time. And I know if we mention this name, people will say, no, I saw this child on social media. But tonight I want to talk about, I want you to take us back to the beginning. What was the defining moment or experience that inspired you to start the Kids Cancer Foundation? Because it's, Krishay just put a highlight on many children, not just herself.
Absolutely. So thank you for that question. Very good question. It was one of the back of my own experience with cancer at the age of 21. You know, at that stage or age, I thought, like, you know, I was infallible, I was fit, etc. And like many at this, you know, day and age, you know, we think though that, you know, no disease or, you know, can touch us because, you know, I'm fit, I'm eating properly. And at that stage, I thought I was, but, you know, at the fittest, at my peak of my sporting career as well, at the age of 21. And then what happened one day, I was telling somebody the story at the Burger River Resort. You know, when you go there, day visitor, you wait there early in the morning. Early morning, wait there, I was about after 6 in the morning. And then I was, again, I was at age of 21, and as we're waiting in the queue, and I'm saying to my silly cousin, and I'll tell you why he's silly, I'm telling him, listen, just feel this little gland in my neck on my left side, feels slightly swollen. It's not painful, but swollen. And then he says, listen, this feels weird, but I think it's cancer. And to this day, he regrets those words because immediately the week thereafter, I started having night sweats. I started coughing for a full week in the evenings when I slept. And I went to a clinic. I think at the time it was a prime cure clinic next to Tigerberg Hospital. They did a scan and they picked up the same swelling within the muscle of my lung as well. All right. Fast forward, I had to have 12 sessions of chemotherapy, a full month of radiotherapy. It was the most traumatic experience of chemotherapy back then. I was triggered, like traumatized by, you know, the color orange chive? That was the color of the chemotherapy. Wow. I couldn't stand the color of the, you know, the chive, you know, drinks. I couldn't stand driving past hospital being a fruit skier because it triggered me so badly that I felt nauseous. But while I was on this journey, I started conversing with families of little ones, especially in the underserved areas at Tigerberg, etc. But then I realized that so many organizations do amazing work, but I feel like it's too transactional, if I can call it that.
Yes.
They give the child a care pack or grocery hamper, and then they hope for the best, all right? They don't even follow up, etc. Or no one really knows what's happening in the homes of these families. And while I was conversing with these families, I then, you know, took it by myself that, listen, I believe that God didn't put me through this trauma of cancer to not serve and to not do something about it. So I was, a year later, I was in remission. And in fact, I worked for many years at, in a corporate, good corporate company. But then 3 years ago, in fact, 7 years ago, I decided during COVID to register an organization. An organization that not just connects with these families once off, but what we do is when we connect with these families, we walk the journeys with these families until the little ones either in remission or sadly passes on, in which case we will assist with burial as well. So that's the high level. We do so many other, you know, more things for these families, but that's just the high level information of what we do.
Wow. So just to give us an idea, starting a foundation is never easy. Now, what challenges did you face in the early days, and what kept you going despite those obstacles?
I believe these obstacles are still around, especially post-COVID. But initially when I registered, the idea was to connect with families, especially during COVID was very difficult to connect with people. But then I started using the digital platforms, mainly Facebook, and now more recently TikTok and Instagram. But when I connected with these families, I started sharing their stories because I felt like, you know, a lot of these families are suffering in silence, especially in the underserved areas, in the torpies, etc.
Yeah.
So when I started connecting with them, I started sharing these stories mainly on Facebook. If you go onto our platforms now, you'll see that I create crowdfunding for them, like backer buddy campaigns for them if there's a financial need. So the challenges were always like, you know, connecting with these families, number one, all right, because I still feel like we need to cast this net even further, you know, to the rest of South Africa, especially the underserved areas, because often when they reach, you know, or they connect with us, I feel like it's often too late. Like the child should have gone for treatment or checkups, then it's stage 3 or stage 4 cancer when they, you know, are eventually diagnosed. But I also feel like, you know, a lot of the organizations at the moment, like, they are very territorial in like, you know, the work that they do, as opposed to being collaborative. So our approach is also like we're not, it's not just your organization's child, it's the community's child, all right? And I feel that is also another challenge, is that it's very difficult to kind of connect with like-minded and like-hearted organizations because they're very territorial, this is our child's story. But there's a bigger cause to it. And we have to, you know, constantly remind ourselves that the cause itself, which is looking after the well-being of that child, is much, much bigger than your organization's kind of values or whatever, you know, it is. Much bigger than the individual, basically.
You know, mentioning territorial, that specific word, you're so right. Because this is not about territory, this is not about me outshining you. This is about the bigger cause. This is about children suffering. This is about, it's so sad just to see a little one going through so much pain. And I can't see how we can't have empathy and leave the territorial stuff behind, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So, the one thing I want to mention, though, is that, you know, coming from the business world, and I feel like a lot of organizations operate in through that kind of lens. It's more like statistics, all right? Yeah. Like through the statistical lens, like they will show the number of kids that are, you know, yes, in certain areas, etc. But in order to have perspective, all right, and that's the one thing that we try and do through our platforms and sharing, you know, the stories on the various platforms like you guys are doing for us as well, is to give that kind of perspective, all right? Because only when you view this through a more individualistic kind of point of view and an individualistic lens, do you then understand the depth of what's happening in the homes of these families, what's happening, like, you know, how it's impacting the families, not just financially, but emotionally, mentally as well. Then you'll have that kind of perspective. But until you make the time to go and go into the homes of these families, you won't have that kind of perspective.
You know, I commend you so much for what you do, because I don't know, my heart breaks if I look at your social media pages. Like I said, it's one child that made us come across you that yeah, actually made me focus a lot on you guys. So whatever we can do more, we will try and do more for you.
You are doing so much for us already. Thank you very much. I mean, you connected with us with Linda for the prom for this coming weekend. She's gifted us a few prom dresses for our cancer kiddies. In fact, the three kiddies that I had with her yesterday in Paul were all palliative and or supportive care. But wow, Linda opened up her home and her heart to these ladies.
Yeah, and Linda, I promise you, Linda's one of those people that won't sleep. She already sent me a message. She sent Trisha's message on the group of Valdivi.
Yes.
And we don't do enough. We are human and we should reach out more. So I'm going a bit off what I was going to ask you. But I'm going to ask you now, Kashif, I want to know, how does this foundation, how does it operate? How can people get involved? How does it operate? How can we reach out to you?
Absolutely. That's the one thing that I realized early on in this journey, is that when people come on board, initially it was like, you know, they want to come on board, but they drop off care packs at my doorstep, or, you know, my garage is full. But I realized that they don't necessarily connect with the cause, all right? And then, you know, we used to classify them as donors. But that's the thing. We are in it for the long run as a foundation, all right? Our approach is very personal. We bury the children when they, you know, when they pass on. In fact, we offer psychosocial support. We have a counselor on board, even when the child passes on, for the family, so they can, like, hopefully in time deal with it, the loss of the child. So we don't classify it as donors, all right? We classify everyone that comes on board as partners, because we are in it for the long run, all right? And once you connect with the cause and you understand and you gain that perspective, you'd understand that the approach has to be personal if you want to kind of help these families holistically. It's not about just, you know, gifting them a digital device or care pack again, and then you hope for the best, all right?
Okay.
It's walking the journeys with us, alongside us, but not just dropping it off a care pack or a grocery hamper. We don't, in fact, we that's one thing that we don't like to do, is to reach out for funding. We will rather do something that's a lot more forward thinking, that will drive our own income, you know, so that people can see, okay, no, these people are not working for handouts. So, but we want partners that understand our mission and understand what we are doing to walk alongside us.
So I'd like to ask, in closing, like I said, I went totally off track, because listening to you was now, this is the first time we speak. We're not voice-noting each other. But we're still going to voice note at 5 a.m., okay? Just keep it like that.
So,
Kashif, I'm not talking about besides businesses. You can also tell us in closing about how can businesses get involved, but you can also tell me how the person, the individual can how can I contribute properly to the cause, for the needs of this cause, besides a care package.
Yeah.
Because is makkelijk om een care package te koop.
Ja.
So give that to us in closing, please.
Yeah, so I mean, if you understand what we do, all right, the individual themselves, I'd like for them to, over the last couple of years, I've taken people along with us. So in fact, the hospitals, they were a lot more reiterated, so you can't necessarily just go in, you have to send them emails, etc. But I'd love for people to connect with these families, all right? The individual, if you want to donate or help out or understand what we do, go with us when we do bi-weekly care pack drop-offs and connect with the families, all right? Once you understand that, and once you connect with that and you gain that kind of perspective, is that then you understand the extent of what these families are going through. But again, we don't just assist with care packs or digital devices. When we go into the homes of these families, if you have a hardware store or construction company, we do needs analysis. I mean, if you look at go through our pages now, you'll see there's two kiddies, one Layla, which is battling stage 4 neuroblastoma, and then there's Mateo, who's also battling leukemia. They are living in Blikkiesdorp, the two. Those are the most recent kiddies. And that's the one thing that I'd like to connect it. I always try, and the stories that we share, bring it back to an actual child. Because both Layla and Mateo are battling in Blikkiesdorp, and the living conditions is not conducive for any child, let alone the child battling flu, all right? Now a child's battling cancer, all right? So if you make the time and you have a construction company and you want to help us just insulate this child's home, because this winter it's cold, all right? Layla herself is at the Red Cross almost every month because she's got the flu, all right? Now she still has to battle cancer as well. Same with Mateo. Mateo's 2 years old. And he's often called, sick because he's immunocompromised, all right? So these are the kind of, stories that we would like to share with people. So if you're an individual or a company, go through our social media platforms, look at the stories, connect with us. My details is there because we go into the homes of these families. We do needs analysis. We get them beds if we can, all right? But we can only fulfill that dream or mission if we have the right partners on board.
Kashif, thank you for everything that you do. And like I say, tonight was just a live interview, just to hear your voice on air, because we always hear the stories, but we're going to continue telling those stories on the show. Tell the throwers off the air. Yeah, so, and I will share it from my side. I will share it wherever I can. Especially now this Blikkiesdorp story. Ek kom van die Kaap af, so ek ken die areas bietjie beter. So we'll do the best that we can, and thank you for you. We really appreciate what you do.
Thank you for allowing us to share and use your platform to share the stories of these young fighters. And I believe we're all doing God's work, so thank you.
Thank you. And all our prayers are with Krisha and her parents tonight and her family.
Thank you.
And with you.
Thank you.
Have a blessed evening. The two of us will chat again.
Thank you, Gideon. I have a blessed evening, and to you and your listeners as well.
Thank you so much, Kashif.